we don't even know each other. How do you know you don't like me?
Yeah, I know I don't like you.
I'm sitting in a car with this man for 20 minutes.
And uncomfortable.
For the whole time, he's coming at me about giving him my number.
What's good? My name's Nuria.
And my name is Caroline.
This is the Cathartic Experience. Two therapists talking about life
in an unfiltered way.
Welcome to today's episode number 9. Today we will be talking about
microaggressions.
Yeah, fun stuff.
So first though, how are you?
We were just talking about this. I'm like, you know when you're energized because of how outside is?
Mm-hmm. Like the sun is out.
Yeah. The weather's crisp, but you're still tired. Like you're exhausted. Like, mind you, I haven't been sleeping much because of trying to get all this schoolwork and stuff done. But I don't know. I'm tired, and it's just like I get very like almost touch phobic when I'm tired.
What do you mean?
Like when I'm tired and when I'm stressed. Mm-hmm. Like, don't pat me on the back. Don't touch my leg. Don't try to comfort me physically. Don't touch me.
Did you say nigga, don't touch me?
No. I didn't say nigga, don't touch you. I said usually when I'm in that state, I don't want people to touch me.
I feel you.
You know people who like hugs and like to comfort you in that way? Mm-hmm. I'm like, no. Like that. I'm just like, I can't do any of that.
I feel like you don't like people to touch you in general.
No, I'm a huggy person. But like when I'm stressed, being touched makes me feel claustrophobic. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's weird. Mm. Yeah, how are you? Enough about me.
I'm good. How am I? I'm fine. I feel like it's getting warmer outside, which has been helping. But at the same time, it's like, we don't be outside.
Nah, we don't be outside like that.
We be in this office all the time. And when, like, we go out, it's like 8 p.m. And it's like, it's a wrap.
True. I was thinking, though, like, some therapists do walking therapy with clients. Like, they literally go outside and they walk with them.
Mm-hmm.
So other therapists do, like, horse therapy. I don't know how the fuck that happens.
Mm-hmm. So that's something planned. Yeah. But, yeah, I think just trying to force myself to go outside more. Yeah.
Rough time. Well, let's go into microaggressions. Mm-hmm. I think this is a really important topic just because of how many people may experience it, and it tends to be so subtle. So basically, it's just lexically defined as basically verbal, behavioral, or environmental indignities, whether intentional or unintentional, that basically communicate hostility or derogatory or negative attitudes towards stigmatized or culturally marginalized groups. So basically, it's like someone being an asshole in a way that can literally put you down based on a characteristic or an aspect of your worldview, whether that's your race, your gender, how you adhere to gender norms, disabilities, mental health, age, and all that. So
it's often subtle. It's often unintentional, but sometimes it also can be intentional. So
yeah, I think the thing is, a lot of people blindly engage in these things because when I think microaggression, I don't necessarily only think like on a relationship level. I think on a very big, like, historical, political, cultural level.
Yeah.
And sometimes people reenact certain things.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that they're right, but it also doesn't always mean that they're conscious.
That they're doing it, yeah.
But you know how much privilege you need to have to not be conscious of you being an asshole?
A lot of privilege. A lot of privilege.
Tens and thousands. That means you never really had to keep people in mind. But I don't want to... This isn't a white versus everybody conversation.
Yeah.
This is an everybody versus everybody conversation because even colored people can engage in microaggressions. Let me say it louder for the people in the back. Even colored people
can
engage in microaggressions, especially if the person they're... they're doing these behaviors towards are of are from a different racial group, or they have a different kind of intersectionality. Maybe it's a woman, maybe it's a man versus woman, maybe it's someone who's well-adjusted versus someone with a mental health concern.
Right.
So microaggressions could happen on many different levels, but the tough part is that not everybody notices when it's happening. So let's go into this first. So first, let's talk about the most obvious. So race or ethnicity.
Yeah.
So we could only speak to our experiences as Black women. But we're going to go to the Black part first. Let's start with that.
The Black part. So what have been different times that you've lived or that you've noticed a microaggression towards yourself?
Like, I don't think I've ever been called a slur before. No one's ever called me anything. I think I predominantly grew up in a white school, white and Asian school. But none of them really, like, I remember just feeling a little weird when this kid was in my class. I used to wear like MAC powder on my face and my face would look so clear. And then I remember sitting there one day and he was sitting at the desk in front of me. And he looks to his friend after looking at me and he's like, "Why do Black people always have such nice skin?" I was like, first of all, I did not wake up like this. Second of all, it's MAC. But for me, it was just like, keep my name out your mouth. Keep my color out your mouth. What do you need, white boy? What do you need? What do you need? Why?
He was trying to interact with you.
Not really. Not really. Let's not do that. But I've had it on dating websites where it's like, the blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice. I've never been with a Black girl before. Oh. That kind of like,
experience?
I find it a little insulting though. Like, apparently
she's pushing
you. I'm pushing you right now. Apparently
there are
some men out there who make a list of all the different races they've slept with, and then once they've slept with a race from a certain category, they tick the box off and move to the next.
I can believe that
Black women are on that list a lot of the times, where it's almost like this prize thing where it's like, I conquered one.
No.
Like, I did
that
it.
That sounds terrible.
That's so trash. It's so demeaning, but we'll get to that sexuality part. But in terms of my race, it's something I actually wonder about quite a bit, because I'm like, you know when somebody seems too nice to you? Like, they're going out of their way to be too nice, and it's just like, are you doing that because you don't want to seem racist?
I know that's something that we talk about often.
Yeah.
Like, why people do certain things, and would they react the same way if you look different?
True.
Yeah.
I think the thing that has saved me is being so tamed. Like, growing up with my Haitian parents, I came out respecting the ground they walked on. Even it doesn't matter if the mom and papa was right or wrong.
Yeah.
They instilled that respect in me. Mm-hmm. So whenever I dealt with authority, I respected them.
Right.
So I didn't talk back. I was respectful. I did what I was told. Mm-hmm. So I fell into a certain category or a certain way of being. So I think I drew a lot less attention to myself.
Yeah.
But I know that if it was a Black kid who was acting out and loud,
I always wonder about that.
Yeah. I think they do get treated differently. Because I know that especially in schools in like Quebec and stuff.
Why are you trying to put Quebec out there like
that? Babe, because you know what? I'm not even going to say nothing like that. Let me pause on that thought. But because there's that underlying racism that place has dealt with for so long.
That's instilled in the culture.
Yeah, it's gonna peak when you see teachers treat students in certain ways.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't give the Black students as much opportunity. And maybe they penalize them for how loud they are and stuff like that. But
Not as forgiving,
exactly.
That's something that I actually saw in high school. Often a lot of the kids that ended up in like detention or were in quote unquote trouble were the Black kids when something that could have been done by a non-black kid would be like, oh, okay, like, you're late by a minute, it's cool. But because that other black kid, they do that often, it's like, you're late by 30 seconds.
They get excused a lot. Yeah. And I think a lot of people lack so much awareness. I remember growing up in Brooklyn, New York, and, you know, knowing that historically, black people were placed into poverty. Mm-hmm. And they're making do with whatever they have to go about their day-to-day. Mm-hmm. And the learning opportunities were... I remember being in Brooklyn and the learning opportunities were there. But you put a kid in a neighborhood with, like, gangs and shit like that. And it's like, well, how much education?
Right.
And then they blame it on the kid as if it's their fault. And as if they're not a product of their circumstance.
I hear you. And I feel like oftentimes there's also this messaging in the black communities of, right, do it so you don't end up like this. Right. Almost like they take part of that blame. And it's not like something that's been passed down from generations and generations.
Right. Behave, don't draw attention to yourself.
I feel like we've modeled that to a T. Let's be
honest. Yo, I ain't trying to get in trouble.
But I'm like, sometimes, and I can remember just even this week where there was something unfair that was being done to me, and I was kind of like, you know what? It's not that big of a deal. Just sit in it, you know? Like, it doesn't, even if it means that it takes 20 minutes of your time, you don't need to, you know, you don't need to blow up and just... stay small, I think it's the messaging. Stay small. This is going to get resolved. Don't make a scene. Because if you make a scene, what am I doing then? Right?
Reinforcing the black stereotype.
Exactly.
I think I let go of that a little while ago. Because in my mind, it's like, my mom taught me to respect myself. And I'm sorry if my self-respect is threatening.
Right.
But I'm not gonna sit here and take all your shit. I don't have to.
Right.
I don't have to. I'm not a punching bag. This is not slavery. You can't have your way with me. Some people try to trap other people in this mental slavery. And we know that racism, racist acts, these microaggressions do happen quite a bit in the workplace with the clients that we work with. From what is told to them, to the opportunities they're kept from, to the lack of support they face in these institutions that say, oh, self-care, mental health, you can share all the damn workshops you want, but unless you're actually willing to advocate for your employees of color, you can fuck off with that.
Right, or just recognizing that, like, a mental illness is a real thing, and it deserves the same amount of credit as a physical illness.
And the thing is, a lot of people who are not well versed in, like, microaggression or racial trauma don't think it's an issue.
Right.
So you could have someone who's working at the government at the government.
Say it again for the
and they're being called racial slurs. They are dealing with microaggressions, like not being as respected as their peers or being kept from opportunities, and they try to bring it up to HR, and it's like, oh, what's the issue?
Do you have an email?
Do you have proof of this happening? It's almost like these microaggressions hold no value, so they speak like they're talking, that it feels like they're talking to a wall, because it's just like, you don't get it, and you're not, I don't think, like, it's so hard when somebody doesn't get it.
To the point that it can make the person that lived this believe that it wasn't true. That it didn't happen. That it's fictive.
Right.
When in fact they did live that.
They did live it. And that's the harm in having a workplace that's not very diverse. Not only diverse in the people who work for the big boss, but in the big boss department too. How many people of color do you see running the show?
Right. Right. And it's not only, and I feel like for this, it's like, it's government institutions, but I feel like also community institutions. The people at the top, like the people working on the day-to-day stuff, often they're racialized, but the people at the top in like executive positions.
Mm-hmm.
You might see one woman, one white woman.
One. That's been primarily my manager. I've never, if I can say this confidently, I've never had a black female manager.
No.
And not saying that other people haven't, but just saying that's a rare occurrence.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about black. I've never had a black person of color manager.
Me neither.
And the thing is, listen to...
But, she's pushing me.
I'm pushing you. Listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
I used to work for an immigrant center. All the workers, racialized. Mm-hmm. Manager, white.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Right. It.
How does that make...
Make it make sense.
Any sense.
Make it make sense. It's...
Why not have a colored person...
Mm-hmm. Representing
in a managerial position, and why not have a white person working for the colored person?
Mm-hmm. And you know, often it's said that we didn't have anyone who applied, when we know that often it's a lot about networking.
Yeah.
Who do we know? Who do you know? Who do we know?
Who do you provide the opportunity to?
Right. So talking about, I guess, ethnic heritage and all of that, and racism.
Mm-hmm. I think racially there's a lot that people just go through. Mm-hmm. And sometimes other people are insensitive or they demean a person's racial heritage or identity. So even in the beliefs that a person from a different culture may have, or saying like, that's fucking weird. Or mm-hmm. I remember just dealing with clients who, let's say their partners, they were from a different culture than their partner, and they would try to share food from their own culture, and their partner would be like, this is fucking nasty.
Mm.
Like, I don't understand.
Right.
Like, why wouldn't you just be respectful?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, you don't have to understand someone's culture to respect it.
Yeah.
That's not what it's about. Unless they're doing harm to you, then you could advocate for yourself. But it's mm-hmm. about being able to hold space for another person, just as you would expect space to be held for you.
Yeah. I mean, if someone presents you a plate of food, that it doesn't mean that you need to eat it, but at the same time, don't eat it and then say it's disgusting.
It's just so discouraging in that sense. But personally, because... Like we said, that fear was in us for a very long time. Mm-hmm. So we kind of fell in line when it came to trying to not seem too black. Mm-hmm. Because we knew
too loud.
Yeah. Right. That would draw a negative experience.
We did the opposite of that for a long time. Let me be a little bit more quiet. Let me be up in this piece, but not, you know, taking too much space, quote unquote.
Yeah. And it's a weird feeling. It's definitely a weird feeling, but I've never had someone overtly say something, but I know that with some of the clients I've worked with, they've dealt with that,
mm-hmm.
especially with like strangers on the street yelling nigga at them,
mm-hmm.
some of them being stalked and harassed by these other people on the side of the road. One thing I notice about my own behavior is I love to listen to loud rap music in mm-hmm. my car. Every time I roll up to a gas station, that is going from 30 to zero, to the point where I can't hear it, because I don't want to be seen in a certain way, because it's mm-hmm. just like, I don't want someone to excuse their own shitty behavior because of something I did that had nothing to do with them.
Yeah.
And people will find a way.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will find a way to make what you do about them when it's not about them.
Right. And there's so many layers to this as well.
There's so many layers.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
an example, I remember I was talking to my friend 2 weeks ago, and just thinking back of like when we were in 7th grade, 8th grade, and she's mixed race, and people, kids, what are you?
Hmm.
Not, you know, what are you? As if she's not a human being, and having to deal with that, and that messaging, and these thoughts, how they follow us as adults, right, about your identity.
It's a tricky question for me, where people ask where you're from, because
yeah, you're a little bit from everywhere. You're not like, yeah, like you're born somewhere, you live somewhere else, and it's even that question, where are you from? I'm from Ottawa.
It's like, I understand both sides of the coin, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to people of color. Like, yeah, you don't want someone to pry too much about what your ethnicity is, but like, even in my job or our job as a therapist, like, sometimes it is actually important for us to know where clients are from in that sense, mm-hmm. because different countries have different politics, they have different customs, beliefs, worldviews. Mm-hmm. So if I don't know where you're from, I may be missing a piece of the puzzle in terms of how I conceptualize or understand how your parents kind of navigated mm-hmm. teaching you about culture, or what values.
Right.
So,
but I feel like there's a better way of asking it. Where did you grow up? I feel like that's already like a, oh, okay, because someone, you could have grown up here, you could have grown up in Haiti, you could have, you know, it's giving you a little bit more.
That's true. That's true, but someone could grow up in Ottawa, but their families are hella Haitian.
Mm-hmm.
You know
that's
what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just like, I don't know if where they're currently geographically located is enough to give you a picture.
Mm-hmm.
The question I ask, or how I usually ask that question, is how would you define your ethnicity?
Right. But I feel like you're that's like a thought out question.
It actually came randomly to me one mm-hmm. day, because I love deconstructing things.
Right. It's important.
To me,
too.
It's not about labeling someone as a woman or a black person and saying, okay, I understand who you are. It's about taking that label and being like, how do you make sense of this? Mm-hmm. How do you make sense of being black?
There needs to be room for that conversation, though.
There does. There right. I feel like people aren't curious enough about other people's experiences. Like, it's so easy to just judge what you see.
Give someone a label. What do you do? What do you do? And then it's like, oh, I'm a therapist. And now you have that. It's like, but I do other things. You know? Or I wear different hats. It's not the only hat I wear.
True, or I'm a person under this who doesn't have it all figured out. There's mm-hmm. a lot of questions and complexities as well. But I think, yeah, usually I ask, how do you define your ethnicity? Mm-hmm. Because even some people strongly identify with being black. Some people, it's a very strong component about their identity. Other people, they're like, I don't really notice it.
Yeah.
I don't really, and there's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with that.
That's you know the way I mean? That they walk in the world. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, in terms of microaggressions, like, there's so many directions we could go, but we went the black way.
First.
But just, yeah, just a lot of stereotypes and just a lot of things, like, it's crossing the streets.
I've known it as to be subtle.
It's subtle,
in my experience, it's been subtle. Things right. like people come to, in my family, we have this person who, I think he's a doctor, and he, like, his home he mm-hmm. owns a big house, and the gardener, is it gardener? Yeah, was first coming for the first time, and he was like, oh, where's the homeowner? So, like, subtle. He's mm-hmm. like, I am. And it's like a, oh, okay. Like, you know, like, these subtles, mm-hmm. these, like, it's, to me, I've known it to be subtle.
Yeah.
It's not, like, right in your face. It's in the small actions or comments.
Or when you're sounding a certain way on the phone and you show up and you're black.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know, like, you were black.
Oh.
Because of how you sounded.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh.
And out.
And out. In terms, yeah. I think we could go to gender.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one. That's a big one. I feel like women are demeaned so much. My friend and I were talking about this, but she found that in university, whenever the boys, I'm going to call them boys,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to stick to boys. The boys, when they would talk in class.
I think about Lizzo. Anyway.
Lizzo, I did. When they would talk in class and share their opinions, people would accept it with no question.
Mm.
But whenever a woman would say something in class, they would be like, Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about that. Mm. Or her comment would be less credible somehow, automatically, because it's coming from a woman.
Right.
Whereas people seem to automatically believe things mm-hmm. that come out of men's mouths. Mm-hmm. And
even if they don't know what they're talking
even
about.
Even if they don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Mm-hmm. But they say it so confidently, so it must be true. And it's like, no.
But when the woman's confident, well, watch out for bossy. That one. She's bossy. She's a bitch. She's mm-hmm. this. She's that.
Right.
Like, it, women having power is threatening.
Right.
So threatening mm-hmm. that they feel the need to demean her to justify it. Hmm. Oh, she's not intelligent. She's not powerful. She's a bitch. She's right. bossy.
Right.
Like, stop trying to black someone shine. She can't
just be a boss.
She can't just be a boss. Mm-hmm. She's got to be a bitchy boss.
Or then comments are made about her appearance. Oh right? Comments God. That wouldn't be made to a man.
Yeah, it's... Appearance is always brought into... the judgment of women, whether
so why? Even when if it has not, nothing to do with the situation.
Yeah, well, even when it has nothing to do with the situation. And I would say, me as a woman, I'm at fault for that too. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, I don't remember what it was, but I think there was this person who does politics in the States or something like that. I don't know what her positions is. I'm not good with politicism and all that shit. But she's a woman, a black woman with like short hair mm-hmm. and she doesn't wear makeup at all and her clothing are always oversized. Mm-hmm. I would look at her like, what is this heifer doing? Mm-hmm. Girl, put some clothes on, get your clothes right. Mm-hmm. Whereas like if it was a man, I'd be like,
no one would care.
I wouldn't even think twice about that. Mm-hmm. We're just so conditioned to care so much
about women's bodies about and their how appearances.
Yeah,
it's crazy. It really is, like policing their bodies.
Yeah,
and the way that they move into the world.
Yeah, and it's just like, you remember the conversation we had with your partner about, you know, slut shaming mm-hmm. and how they were trying to compare man spreading
to slut shaming?
No, they were trying to compare calling a man a slut to a woman a slut.
It doesn't hold the same weight.
It doesn't hold the same weight. I truly don't believe it does. No. Because calling a woman a slut justifies aggressing against her.
Yeah.
Calling a man a slut oftentimes has this...
He might get a high five for it.
He might get a high five for it.
Because their bodies are not seen...
In the same way. You can't tell me it's the same thing. If you're going to tell me it's the same thing, like, catch me inside, how about it? Like,
it really isn't, you know?
Historically, culturally, men and women's bodies are different. They're seen different. They're treated different. Mm-hmm. And the implications of them are different. And if you believe otherwise, come for me.
If a woman is called a slut, it's like her entire... person, she has her no entire integrity. Womanhood. She has no integrity. If a guy is called a slut, women might go for him more.
True.
And guys will call him like, he's that guy. He's getting some.
He's getting some.
It's different. Yeah.
But it's just crazy. And it's it's like, I know that in certain couples, certain things play out too. Like, what is a woman's responsibility versus a man's responsibility? Right. Some men won't touch dishes. Some men won't take care of kids because they don't see it as being their job.
Right.
Well, a job is a job.
I have an example about policing women's bodies.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
So, at my previous employment, I was working with someone who... is a person who's taller and who just enjoyed makeup and experimenting with makeup. And it just so happened that they were wearing a full face of makeup at work because they had something after work. And that became a thing.
How?
Because her makeup was, nighttime makeup. Like, she was wearing too much makeup for a day job. Oh, that became a conversation amongst, like, coworkers, or the fact that she's tall, the fact that they're tall, and so they shouldn't wear heels. And I'm like, what is...
Why does it matter?
Let them be.
Let them be. They're just trying to live.
They're just trying to live.
I used to work at Metro at the grocery store as a cashier, and I remember I used to do my makeup. Mm-hmm. Because it's something I enjoy. I would always show up with a full face of makeup. One day, I'm just working, putting shit into a bag because this is what a cashier does. Like, leave me alone. I'm not trying to talk to you. Mm-hmm. And this guy comes up to me, black guy. He only has two items. I swipe them. Who you looking all like that for?
Mm-hmm. That is...
And I looked at him. And then I just gave him his receipt. I was like, have a nice day. Mm-hmm. I don't need to explain myself to you.
It's this ugly ass little comments or these little.
And he was all there looking like nothing. Like, I'm sorry, sir. Watch your mouth before you talk to a bag of chips. Keep it moving.
Keep it moving.
Keep it moving. Ain't nobody asked for your goddamn opinion.
This idea that you have to be wearing a face of makeup for someone
or something.
For something.
What if I just would have wear it? Mm-hmm. So.
Woke up wanting to... That was me yesterday. I woke up wanting to wear makeup. So I did.
Leave people alone.
Stop trying to police my body. Ooh.
Like, if you are that hyper-fixated on what's going on for someone else, please turn around to your own life and tend to it.
Yeah? My experience has been more with hair and people wanting to touch my hair. Yeah. And when it's a supervisor and you don't know how to react because you're like... Someone needs to have this conversation with you, but today's not the day and I'm not the one.
I'm not the 1, 2, 3, or 4. Don't.
So you do that cringe and you're like, oh.
You're like, fuck.
Yeah.
Good. No, but yeah, being a woman is, you got a little tummy, you don't got enough ass, you got too much titties, you got too little titties.
Yeah, you're not tall enough, you're too short, you're too, it's. Your hair is too crazy. Short. Blah, 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 blah. Like, where does one...
It's so insane how many things people are... And I'm not saying it's not... It's the same for men as well. I don't know what it's like to be a man. Mm-hmm. Because I know that... Yeah, because I'm not a man. But it's just like... I'm sure they go through a lot of their own things. And I'm not going to speak to something I don't know about.
Yeah.
But as a woman itself, it's just like... Mm-hmm. From it's every minuscule detail, from the arch of your eyebrow to how much hair is on your eyelashes to your eyeliner to the size of your ears to what's on your ears in terms of piercings to your hair to whether your face is contoured properly to how fat does my neck look, how skinny does my neck look, how big or small are my arms, like
to the way your stomach looks, to the way your legs look, to the way it's... And there's a product for everything, and there's a need to... It's almost like fixing something that doesn't need fixing, right? There's everything for everything and everything for everything. And it's like, where does this... Where's the line, right?
And I just thought about this, but in films... Especially with, like, male-dominated films... Mm-hmm. And how they talk about the female body, and especially comedy films with mostly like white characters and stuff like that. It's just a lot of things are problematic about the media we consume, and it's not about lacking a sense of humor, but it's about like talking about something in a way that makes it lose its value.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like the best practice to rob someone of their sense of value or worth just because you think it's comedic.
Yeah. If that's where you have to go, that means you're not funny. Low key. Like, if you can't have like a range, if that's always where you go because it's like the easy jokes, that means
you ain't funny. Sorry. Sorry. If your solution is always to go for the jugular, then... Man, that's not very tasteful. But, oh my gosh, the unwanted advances towards women. And when women reject them, the aggression. You're a bitch. You're this. I didn't even like you. Huh? Well, you. Well, you liked me a second ago. I didn't even like you anyway. But you took the effort to message someone you didn't like. So who's the fool?
But I think that's mostly with these types of men. It's dealing with rejection and they're not able to.
It's scary though, because I remember reading the story. Will always stick with me because I don't know who this girl was. But I remember being a big fan of like festivals, blues fest, all that type of stuff. And she had gone to a festival, I think it was outdoors or in a club, it doesn't really matter. This guy started dancing on her and she was like, no, thank you. Mm-hmm. Tell me how this man pulls out a gun and shoots her.
Oh my. No.
This girl woke up that day, got ready, probably looked in the mirror, thought she was cute, texted her friends, got a ride to the venue or got there somehow.
Right.
Knowing that she was gonna just have fun and enjoy herself. And just because she didn't want to dance with some dude, she lost her whole life.
That's ridiculous.
That is literally a story that has always stuck with me. Because it's just like, it just happens. Women having to be careful when it comes to being alone and paying attention to men around them. I remember when I was on the university campus, there's this dude. I just came from the campus store, bought a whole bunch of hoodies and sweatpants because I like to be comfortable. I was just walking. And then he's like, he comes up beside me and he's like, oh, like you got a lot of stuff there. I'm like, hey, yeah, I'm just going to the office. And he kept walking next to me. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I gotta go. And he's like, oh, like, can I have your number? I'm like, no, like, I don't want to give you my number. Yeah. And he's like, oh, please, just a little number. I'm like, text you, I can text you. And I'm like, the only way to get rid of this dude was to give him my number. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I ignored him. Mm-hmm. But it was crazy. Or even, like, sense my discomfort.
I think that's where the problem
is. Because I don't make it that hard. If I'm not engaging and I seem hesitant, leave me the hell alone. If someone's like, leave it alone. Mm-hmm. Leave it alone. And I remember I've dealt with this in Uber. Oh my God.
Yes.
Yo, I recorded.
You did. And you shared it with me and I heard it.
An Uber ride that was 20. I was just trying to go vote on that day. And
look at you being a good citizen. Trying to go vote.
I was just trying to go vote. Mm-hmm. I was sitting in the car. Can I have your number? No. Oh, but we could just talk. We could get to know each other.
But I said no.
No, I don't think I want to give you my number. But I think no we could get to know each other. Like, we don't even know each other. How do you know you don't like me?
I don't like you.
I'm sitting in a car with this man for 20 minutes.
And uncomfortable.
For the whole time, he's coming at me about giving him my number. And I'm just like, I had to report it to
the app. I encourage you to do so because it doesn't make sense.
The whole time. And it's just like some men have it in their heads that just because they advance a woman, that means she's supposed to take
say
it.
Yes.
If I say no, that take means the L. No. Women get rejected too.
Yeah. But I feel like they're not able to accept it. Work on yourself.
Work on yourself, bro.
I remember calling you. I was in the library and I'm like, and you know I don't be talking to no one. I stay not talking to people. Yes. I stay not talking to Uber drivers because of this. Because I'm like, what we not finna do is start talking and then you're trying, no. And I remember calling you like, texting you on message, Nuria, call me now.
No, bitch.
And you did.
No, I did. And I've dealt with this in multiple Uber rides. Mm-hmm. And I remember dealing with it one time. I was just sitting there. Can I have your number? Okay. I gave him my friend's number. Mm-hmm. and then you try to sit there and call it.
That is the worst thing.
And I'm just like, if I give you a fake number, take the L. Drive on and take the L.
Or when they're like, let me call you first, or let me text you to see if you receive it. And you're like, I don't.
And it's just like,
I don't want to engage in this right now.
Just because you see me receive the text that you sent right now, mm-hmm. doesn't mean I'm not going to avoid the next five.
Doesn't mean I'm not going to block you.
Exactly. Like, what do you think? Like, what are they thinking you're thinking? Because I accept this one, maybe I'll accept all the other ones. Like, please leave me alone.
They're thinking that as a woman, you need to accept advances.
And that you're lucky to have them approach you somehow. Mm-hmm. Some men really do have that complex. I'm like, you're brave. You're brave. Real brave. It's just crazy how unsafe it could get so quickly. Man. If a woman says no.
And I feel like it's crazy how often, even as little girls, we're thought that, like, you need to cover up. You need to make sure you're not attracting any attention. Mm-hmm. And that's the way that we move in the world, right? Like, mm-hmm. I remember walking back home and, like, literally being paranoid of looking back, and how fast can I get to the door, right? When I'm just walking home. When men should be included in these conversations, right?
Right. And there is gendered microaggression in terms of men who tend to be very into, like, violent pornography, violent, like, rape type pornography. And it's, like, scary to know that people are in that. That's why women are so on edge. It's almost like we're safer being on edge than to trust you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a strange feeling. I look at every man on the street sideways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe I just have the mistrust abuse schema.
mistrust the men's.
True. And we won't. Which other microaggression are we jumping to?
We can talk about these two ones.
Okay. What about heteronormativity?
I guess the, like, societal expectations and how sometimes people can, again, in subtle ways, make comments or certain actions that unconsciously or unintentionally show that they have, like, a prejudice towards you. You know? Maybe not a prejudice, but just that there's, like, an expectation, an attitude towards you. Every phone call that I have with my grandma, it's like, either when are you going to get married, or something about kids, or something about, like, this expectation that you're supposed to carry on with the, like, the...
Right. And I think what's in that is that they don't respect your own decision or autonomy. Mm-hmm. A man can decide he doesn't want kids, and people are like, okay, go. Mm-hmm. A woman doesn't want kids, and it's like, are you sure? Mm-hmm. You're going to change your mind someday.
I've heard that so many times. She's going to change her mind someday. She's just, it's a phase right now.
I know I don't want kids.
Mm-hmm.
And perfectly fine with that.
Right.
Perfectly fine with that. But I know some people can't envision their lives without them. But it's just like, that's you, Buddha. You don't have to project that onto me. But a lot of people do that to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, because we're used to seeing women in a certain way, once they step away from what we expect from them societally as a woman, apparently they're not woman enough.
Mm-hmm. Or it's almost like having kids is part of womanhood. It's like the only thing. Like motherhood is like 90% of womanhood. When it's like, actually, no. Like womanhood is so much more than that.
And why does motherhood have to be reproduction based?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't it be someone being a foster mom or someone adopting? Or why can't it be just someone being an auntie to a lot of little kids?
Right.
Because you could be a trash mom.
Mm-hmm. But you can be an awesome auntie.
You could be an awesome auntie.
Because you don't have to take them home.
Yeah, you don't got to take them home. You can be like, here's some toys. A cigarette between your fingers. Here's some toys. Enjoy. Bye.
See you on Christmas Day.
Yeah. See you next year. Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
You're doing too much. But yeah.
Well, yeah, it's really interesting how people try to impose their own values mm-hmm. onto people. And it's just like, next time right. someone says something about themselves, instead of asking them why, mm-hmm. just say, tell me more about that. What led to that decision? Mm-hmm. What informed that decision? How did you know? When did you know? Mm-hmm. Why? Why do you want to do that? Why?
And sometimes you don't need to explain things to people.
You really don't.
You don't owe them
that. It's not people's business. If they're going to mm-hmm. lose sleep over your decision, well...
That's on them, really.
They can deal with that mm-hmm. insomnia with on their that. Own. You don't got to do anything.
You don't have to be included in that.
You literally don't have to explain. There's so many of us on this planet. Imagine if everyone had to explain themselves.
Mm. But I feel like oftentimes when it comes to parents, they see their kids... however old, as like an extension of themselves. Mm. So it's like, because I want grandkids, you need to be able to bear them. And it's like, and even there could be like, some people could be dealing with infertility. And maybe exactly. they want kids and they're not able to have them.
Exactly.
You don't know that, right? So having this, you know, when are you gonna have kids? Maybe I am trying to have kids right now and it's not happening for me. You know, so stay outside of people's business.
Yeah, stay in your lane.
Yeah.
Stay in your lane. Unless they're willingly wanting to talk about that or they volunteer that information to you. Otherwise, stay in your goddamn lane.
Mm, you don't know what's going on in people's lives.
You really don't.
Bottom line.
You really do not. But yeah, what else do people expect? Huh. Oh, you spoke about how they expect women to always have a smile on their faces.
Oh, yeah. I've been told multiple times that I should smile more, and you know I stay not smiling.
Dad!
I
have my
the Terminator activated bitch faces on all the time. I'm not trying to talk to nobody.
I am dead.
You know I stay not talking to nobody.
Your face says it all.
This tiny little, like, I don't talk to nobody.
Yeah.
If I don't want to.
Yeah, they have this expectation that women should smile. And it's just
I feel like it goes back into policing women's bodies.
Like,
leave me alone.
What do my face muscles have to do with you, though? And it's just like, you should smile more for what? Life is hard.
Mm-hmm.
You walk around with a fucking smile on your face all the time. Yeah, like, they just don't expect the same from men. And it's just like, women are supposed to keep the peace. Women are supposed to do this. Like, what if they want to raise hell and stand up for themselves? Just let them.
Right. But then that's a problem, right?
That's a problem.
You're not fitting into
You're too aggressive. Mm-hmm. You're too this. You're too that. Mm-hmm. And I've always been an advocate for feminists and feminism. And whenever you talk about feminism to a man, he'll bring up radical feminists and be like, oh, but they're so aggressive. They're so this. They're so that. I'm like, hunty boo boo. That's such a tiny portion of feminists.
Right.
Most
like,
feminists are quite fair.
Let's look at the whole thing, not look at like this one, you know what I mean, this one bubble.
Exactly. And if it's like, if we're gonna go there and hone in on the bad parts of that, let's hone in to men themselves and say like, hey, oh, then how about those aggressive, toxic men?
Mm-hmm.
Let's focus on those ones.
Yeah.
Why don't
and
we do
generalize
that?
Them as all men.
Yeah.
Right?
Why don't we do that? You do it to us all the time. Why don't we do that? So it's really interesting to have these conversations. And it's almost like people have an all or nothing view. And I'm very much so.
Black and white. Mm-hmm.
I'm black, white, and gray. And they belong. They kind of blur into each other.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still their own separate colors. Because I believe that there are so many different realities.
Yeah.
There's not one. And for me, it's just frustrating when people believe that there's only one way to be and one reality. And it's just like.
It is very frustrating.
That is such a restricted view of life. And you don't know life unless you know lives. Mm-hmm. There's more than one.
And I feel like sometimes it's just easier to say that one little comment than to try to understand something.
Exactly.
Like, oh, she must be on her period. Well, do you know her life? You know what I mean?
True.
Do you know
the period.
Her life?
Oh, my goodness.
Jesus.
And it's like, no, I'm pretty sure I wanted to choke you a week ago when it wasn't.
You're just annoying.
Yeah, you're just annoying. Imagine. No, you're consistently just...
You're the reason why I'm this way.
Yeah, exactly. But they don't want to hear that. You're a bitch.
So it's easier to say that you're a bitch than to try to think about why is it that this person is showing up this way when they interact with you.
Specifically.
Yeah.
Anyways, people are not good at taking responsibility. Mm. And I think lastly, mental health, people have a lot of... people use a lot of mental health terms very loosely in the world, and people have, oh, you must be bipolar or something. Mm-hmm. Like when they try to
always changing your mind.
Yeah. Right. And it's just like, I'm sorry, that's indecisiveness. That's not bipolar.
Yeah, let's not.
Crack a DSM-5 open for
leave
a second.
Leave the DSM-5 alone. Yeah.
Don't touch it.
Yeah.
Don't say those words.
Yeah. Or he's a sociopath. I've heard that so many. And like, I'm like, sociopath isn't even in the DSM-5. Leave that alone.
Just because you let men toy with your heart doesn't mean he's a sociopath. Antuka.
Oh, and the, I'm so OCD. I hear that one so often.
You could have an obsessive compulsive personality type.
Yeah.
But OCD is something deep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't say you have OCD unless you have OCD. Because people who have OCD suffer.
They're suffering.
And organizing your things and wanting them to be in place is different than...
And keeping a nice schedule is different than I can't leave my house if I don't do this. Yeah,
having obsessive thoughts and rituals and stuff like that. Unless you got that going on, please don't label yourselves. Right? But it's also the perception of people who deal with mental health disorder. Like, if someone is very depressed and, let's say, suicidal, they're just seeking attention.
Or they're lazy. Just go outside. Go for a walk. And I'm like, going for a walk is not gonna, you know... Not gonna fix your depression.
And it's just like, you're part of the problem. If you see someone suffering,
mm-hmm.
and your first instinct is to judge them for suffering,
mm-hmm. you're part of the problem.
Then how do you expect them to get better? Because you're not a support.
Mm-hmm. Especially when they think you're the support and you're not even showing up.
As a support.
It's, yeah.
So people have different perceptions of these different areas of life and mm-hmm. ways of being. We just spoke about what we know. We don't speak about what we don't know. I'm open to comments and concerns and things like that in terms of these topics that we speak about, because it's always important for us to get to know multiple perspectives instead of just our own, because we only know our reality. We know some other realities because we have the privilege of sitting across from people and listening to them.
Every day. Yeah.
Every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Not taking that Easter break.
Why you gotta put your business out there like that?
Anyways.
I'll be there too.
Dad. So, what do you think the reflection question of the day should be?
I was thinking, in what ways have you tolerated microaggressions in your life?
I'm gonna add something. In what ways have you judged other people for their social locations? So whether their gender, race, etc. Because we all have judged at a certain point.
Yeah, we have.
It's about being aware of the ways in which we do that and having a willingness to address that or learn more about the things we judge.
Exactly.
But with that, we leave you with...